This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. And we're going to get into a little bit more here in a few why they are so afraid. And it's coming out of them at all times right now. They are extremely afraid. And halfway through the hour, whatever, I mixed the two, a half hour from now, we have our crappiest country in the world tournament. The start of the second round is tonight with France versus Haiti, but we don't have time for that right now because you know what time it is. It's the start of the second hour on a Monday, so it's time for Medal of Honor Monday. We will find a hero, and we will remember him. And we will remember his deeds. We will talk about them. We will talk to our children about them. Because this is how you create a better culture. Acknowledging, talking about heroes, what they've done. This is the stuff that inspires young people to greatness one day. Don't tell them they suck and their country sucks and nothing matters. Talk to them about people like a James William Lindsay Sr. And his Medal of Honor citation is criminally short. I'm going to add some stuff to it after I get done reading it. But without further ado, he was born in Alabama, Isny, Alabama, although he really grew up in Mississippi. Here's the Medal of Honor citation for James William Lindsay Sr.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Technical Sergeant Jake W. Lindsay led a platoon reduced to 6 of its original strength of 40 in the attack on an enemy position near Hamich, Germany, 16th of November 1944. His men had captured their objective and were digging in when counterattacked by a German infantry company and 5 tanks. Armed with a rifle and grenades, Tech Sergeant Lindsay took position on the left and, in advance of the remnant of his platoon, and though heavily exposed to heavy rifle, machine gun, and tank fire, beat off repeated enemy attacks. Tanks moved to within 50 yards of him, but were forced to withdraw because of his accurate rifle and grenade fire. After driving off the tanks, he knocked out 2 machine guns to his front. Though painfully wounded, Tech Sergeant Lindy continued firing and throwing grenades until his ammunition was expended. An enemy squad attempted to set up a machine gun 50 yards from him. Unmindful of his wounds and enemy fire, he rushed these 8 German soldiers, single-handedly closed with them, killed 3 with his bayonet, and captured 3, the 2 others escaping. In his fearlessness, inspired by courage and superb leadership, Tech Sergeant Lindsay carried on a brilliant defense of his platoon's hard-won ground, securing the position and inflicting heavy casualties on the numerically superior enemy. Now, let's do a little more background here, just to give this story a little bit of juice, because that citation's a little short, in my opinion. This guy joined the Army before Pearl Harbor. He joined in 1940. He joins. His unit, infantry unit, goes off to fight after we declare war. This man fought not only in Sicily, which was fierce fighting, he also fought in Normandy. Possibly you've heard about that. So he is already a salty veteran of this war. Now, Have you ever heard of the Maginot Line? Everybody who knows about World War II has heard of it. If you haven't, that's just fine. Here's what it was. France, concerned the Germans were going to invade again after World War I, not that that would ever happen, France took this long stretch of ground where the Germans were pretty much forced, although they didn't end up being forced in hindsight, pretty much forced to have to come through there. And France built up all these fortifications, this amazing bunker complex. A lot of it's still there to this day, from what I understand. You can go see it. I've never seen it, but it was known as the Maginot Line. All right, you got that. Well, the Germans weren't going to let that go unanswered. The Germans built the Siegfried Line. The Siegfried Line. The Siegfried Line was essentially exactly what the French line was. It's all kinds of pillboxes and underground forts and these gigantic concrete teeth that were designed to stop tanks. It was heavy, heavy fortifications. Well, by the time Lindsay, Tech Sergeant Lindsay, gets there with his unit, we are trying to get through the Siegfried Line. Remember, it was built so people couldn't get through. So gigantic, powerful invading armies could not get through. This is throwing yourself up against the very definition of a hard target. It said his platoon was 40 and whittled down to 6. It was 40 and whittled down to 6 after 500 yards. They were under so much artillery and mortar fire that his 40-man platoon, by the time they got done crossing 500 yards, was down to 6 men left standing. Now, that's already a big problem for a variety of reasons, but here's the thing. You're trying to take this ground from the Germans. And as we've talked about many times before, counterattacking it's a technique as old as time, as old as warfare itself. Okay, you got attacked, you got pushed off of an area you want, but they're probably hurting now after that attack. They launched an offensive, and yeah, they took it in the end, but what's their strength level at? Usually, it's not great. So if you can organize yourself quickly and counterattack, you can oftentimes take back the ground you just lost because they're too weak to hold it. Which brings us to this situation. It was frigid cold. The ground was frozen solid. And what should have been 40 men holding this area were 6 men. And Lindsay was by himself. I think he was 30, 40 feet in front of his platoon, if I remember right. He was in front of the other guys, dug in by himself, and all he has is grenades and rifle rounds. He massacres so many friggin' Germans that eventually he runs out of ammunition. He's already taken out 2 machine gun nests. He's out of ammunition as he's watching them set up another machine gun nest. It referenced the fact that he was wounded. It was not only a wound, it's one of the worst ones you can have in war. It was a leg wound. Leg wounds are devastating. But he can't allow the machine gun nest to set up, and he doesn't have ammo, so attach a bayonet, and in he goes. And he just starts killing Germans with his freaking bayonet. He kills 3 of them, captures, he's alone. He kills 3, captures 3, and 2 are like, oh my gosh, get away from me. And they just take off running. He was by the way, it also didn't reference the fact that they kind of lost him when he charged and they had seen what he'd done. They decided right away he was getting a Medal of Honor. They called him a one-man army, but they all thought he was dead. They had gotten ready and prepared a Medal of Honor for him to give to him posthumously because he's dead, surely, right? Nope. Not dead. I mean, I don't know this, but I like to imagine him emerging from the forest carrying German skulls or something like that. The country was so wowed by this one-man army that he actually got his Medal of Honor in front of a joint session of Congress. I believe he's the first one to ever do that in the history of this country. Oh, I hope you didn't think he was done. James Lindsay was born to end lives. When Korea kicked off, he said, oh, I'd like to get down on that. And the rumor is, he killed 150 Chinese soldiers in a single night. In case you're wondering if that is possible, I already told you before, the Chinese would line up in mass, just a mass of bodies, and they would throw themselves at our positions, especially dug-in machine gun positions. So actually, if you have enough ammunition and you can swap out the barrels fast enough, it is possible. I don't know how many bodies Mr. Lindsay had on his ledger by the time he finally got out, but that is a human being you want next to you in combat. And this might be my favorite part. You know how he was a tech sergeant? They had given him a commission, so he was an officer in the Korean War. As soon as the Korean War was over, he demoted himself back to sergeant. He's like, nah, I'd rather be a sergeant. I'm good. I can better serve this way. Actually lived through everything, and I believe he worked for the Forest Service for 10 years after he was out. How about that? Not too shabby, huh? Berna isn't too shabby either. I know Berna has been absolutely blowing up, especially in recently, because people are aware of how many evil people around us. They're aware of how violent so many people are. And so many people, they want a non-lethal option. That's me. I want an option. And other people, they don't have lethal options because it's not legal where they are. The beauty of Berna is, one, their compact launcher is the size of a cell phone, so it's small, fires pepper balls or tear gas balls, and it's legal. All 50 states. You do not need a permit. You do not need a background check. Do not walk around without something that can stop a bad man from hurting you. Everybody needs one, and you need to carry one. Implore your father, your mother, your daughter, your son. Buy it and carry it. Fits in your pocket, or get a holster, or in your purse. BYRNA, Byrna.com. All right. They are afraid right now. I want you to know that. We'll talk about it next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can also listen to the podcast if you happen to miss a minute of it, including if you happen to miss France versus Haiti, which is coming up next.
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition. Tonight's matchup is between Haiti and France. Brought to you by Trash Can Barbecue. Try our special sauce. Taste the flavor.
Oh, that's glorious. You know what? Let's get to some of those emails before we get to them being afraid. And remember, that's coming up 10 minutes from now. Hey, Jesse, I was listening to your show and you were talking about how everyone should get involved. And I was wondering, what is your advice for a 13-year-old ultra-conservative who wants to get involved and not sit on the sidelines or and watch? Okay. First, you can talk to your friends about it. You know, speaking boldly and being brave now is worth a lot. A lot. I don't know what your school situation is, but I've seen people say, hey, we need to be more careful with the apparel we wear. Maybe you don't wear your MAGA hat now. No, no. You wear it more than you ever wore it before. You speak louder than you ever were before. Courage. And that takes courage, especially at 13 years old. That's one. Two, I am going to give you the lamest answer in the world, and it is going to hurt. It's not going to be what you want to hear, okay? But here's what it is. At 13 years old, you need to equip yourself in order to fight politically. Equip yourself. So what does that mean? You need knowledge. Knowledge doesn't mean you're dumb. It means you're 13. And if you wade into this political arena and you're not equipped, you are going to get yourself hurt in one way or the other. Think about it like war. We just did Medal of Honor Monday. We just talked about Tech Sergeant Lindsay and what he did. You know what Tech Sergeant Lindsay 100% absolutely positively did not do? He did not just show up in a fighting hole in Germany with a gun and some hand grenades, fat, out of shape, had never trained, didn't know how to pull the pin, didn't know marksmanship. No. How do you get to be that guy? A lot of running, a lot of push-ups, a lot of training, time on the range. He had to prepare himself for that moment, or he would not have met that moment. He would be dead. That's fact. You, if you are young listening to the sound of my voice right now, you have what it takes. You are good enough. You are smart enough. But you have to train yourself. That means arming yourself with knowledge. Knowledge about history. Knowledge about the Constitution. If I asked you right now, honestly, no matter your age, if I asked you right now, explain, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and explain capitalism to me. What is it? Why does it matter? Explain the free market to me. Could you? Do you know why they put things in the Constitution that they put in the Constitution? Not just what's in it. Anyone can read it. Why is that in it? What do they mean? Do you know these things? If you don't, that's fine. Everybody starts somewhere. Arm yourself with knowledge, no matter what part of the political realm you're going into. Look, read books. Maybe reading books is not your thing. Audiobooks. That's what Jewish producer Chris does. Audiobooks. Or podcasts. There's a world of knowledge out there, and it doesn't just have to be political podcasts. History will help arm you with knowledge. Learn from history. Do history podcasts. Whatever happens to interest you. Learn and arm yourself with Hillsdale. Actually, I bring up Hillsdale all the time. Let me bring up Hillsdale for you right now. Hillsdale's free. More than 40 free online courses, like I tell you all the time. If you would just go take those courses and learn about Rome, learn about the Constitution, learn about the Federalist Papers, learn about capitalism. Look, Hillsdale will teach you at no cost. Do it in your car. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse, by the way, no cost. So that's what I mean. Take some time and train first. Train first. That doesn't mean you can't get involved until you know everything. I'm not saying that at all. But if you wade into a conversation, and I've seen this before, you wade into a conversation or a debate, and they are more knowledgeable about their lies than you are about your truth, it's going to go poorly for you. Think about it like fighting. I hope it's not physical for you. I really hope it's not. But think about it like fighting. If they are out there every day training, punches, kicks, grappling, working on their endurance every single day, and you, once a week you do 10 push-ups. When you fight, it doesn't matter if you have better technique. It really doesn't. At that point in time, you're going to get your butt kicked. These communists, they train. They learn tactics. Remember that audio I've played you before of one of the Black Lives Matter founders? And she says, we're trained Marxists. You notice everyone focuses on the Marxist part, but I already knew that. So did you. You were trained? Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
We actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists.
Trained Marxists. Trained. She didn't say, I want to be an organizer. I am an organizer. I am a Marxist. I'm a trained Marxist. They have classes. They learn. They learn to fight for evil. Have you learned to fight for good? All right. Speaking of fighting, France and Haiti have done this before. It's time to do it again. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday, and we are going to get to them being afraid here in just a moment. As I promised you already, we're going to talk about Trump and his comments about RICO, Pam Bondi, tranny violence, Gavin Newsom's a clown, so much more still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But the tournament of tournaments must continue. As you know, because we've talked about it before, Haiti used to be, it wasn't known as Haiti, but we're going to keep it at that for now. Haiti used to be a colony of France. And it was not only a colony of France, they were shipping slaves there from Africa. Big part of the transatlantic African slave trade. And this, look, it's not like any slavery is lovely, but this is one of the uglier parts of slavery you've ever read about. It was, they were harvesting sugar cane. It was all done by hand. It was labor intensive. It was brutal. And then there ended up being several different factions to Haiti. There were the whites, there were the blacks, there was this mixed mulatta. And they all hated each other. It was just a terrible, terrible, toxic stew of human atrocity and everything else under the sun. Eventually, there's a revolt. Now, there have been many slave revolts throughout history. Almost all of them, pretty much all of them, fail spectacularly. This one went on for a long, long, long time with just the worst kind of atrocities you can possibly imagine. Look, with that much hatred built up, there's just going to be slaughter and horrible things happening all over the place. But at the back end of that, Haiti won. And there was a lot going on in France at the time, but Haiti won. They had their independence. And since that day, Haiti has somehow gotten worse. It's a voodoo-ridden, devil-worshipping country that is so disgusting. You're looking at articles like this. U.S. pleads for beefed-up multinational force in Haiti. This is in response to the powerful gangs that are ruling the place. It's a complete nightmare. And they square off against France. Let's remember about Haiti.
Haiti is a cursed land. Haiti was the site of some of the worst. I know a lot about slavery, historical slavery, not just the American slavery, the only one your American professor taught you about. The slavery throughout history, from the Roman salt mines to the slavery that wasn't that bad. You know, you were the math tutor in the home to... I know a lot about slavery and different forms of it. The slavery in Haiti sounds like some of the worst I've ever heard in my entire life. The slaves they had there, because they were processing sugarcane and it was abusive and it was terrible. And honestly, I don't think Haiti today is better than it was back when they had slaves. That's what a disaster this country is. From AIDS to, get this, this is from the U.S. State Department's website. You want to know how prevalent kidnapping is? By the way, they'll just follow you right from the airport and kidnap you. This happens so often that they have instructions on getting to the nearest police station when you notice somebody following you from the Port-au-Prince airport. Also, on the U.S. State Department's advice section for if you're traveling to Haiti, I kid you not, there is advice on how you need to choose a family member with whom the kidnappers can negotiate your ransom price. So the bad news is you might be murdered, raped, eaten, and chopped up with a machete in Haiti if you visit there. But the good news is that sister you hate, you can force her to cough up some ransom money and cost her a fortune.
That's Haiti. But then there's France. Church is burning. Mass importation of barbarians, a historic country falling before our eyes. Here's France.
Now, as you know, we usually start out saying, where are they in the State Department's travel advisory? Four levels, of course, four being the worst, first being the best. France is actually at a level two, which doesn't make it sound that bad, except for if I was to ask you to list the first world countries in the world. France would be on your top 10 list, don't lie. Of course it would. Yet there are warnings all over the place about France and what you might encounter there. I told you about us. Me, the boys, went to Paris for a couple days. And because we wanted to do all the touristy things, Napoleon's tomb, so on and so forth, we also wanted to see the Eiffel Tower. Hopped in a cab over towards the Eiffel Tower. Before we arrived there, we were at a red light. Cabbie turns to us, just about freaked my whole family out, and gives us a stern lecture and warning to be very, very careful at the Eiffel Tower where we're about to be dropped off. The dude made it sound like he was dropping us off in the middle of a war zone. It was that kind of a lecturing of you are not safe here. Pickpockets everywhere. By the way, terrorism on the rise for very understandable reasons, which we'll get to in a moment. Do keep in mind, if you're in France and maybe you want to take in a something at the local theater, you could very well find your final moments faced with the jihadi who's gouging out your eyes before he cuts your throat. Remember the Bataclan massacre. Did you know, here's an eye-popping stat for you. Did you know that in the last 5 years, this is just what's reported, over 200 churches in France have, quote, caught fire? Let's not be naive here. You know exactly what's happening. You know who's doing it. Over 200 sets of arson as French churches are burning to the ground. Would you like a comparison? Because maybe you think all of Europe's the same. I know Germany has problems. I know Italy has problems. In Germany, there were 37. In the UK, there were 9. In France, over 200. France has imported jihad at such a level, there's not even a France anymore. Now, maybe you're at least saying, well, at least they still have first world elections, but that's where you'd be wrong. Keep in mind, they did recently arrest the, quote, far right, which just means normal anymore, political opponent of French President Macron. I will give them this. The bread is delicious because they have a law there that says it has to be baked the same day. So shout out to France for that. But we can't ever forget or forgive the fact that it was French weakness and French collapse in World War II that pretty much doomed the United States of America to have to go send several hundred thousand of our boys off to die in war. Because if France stops Hitler in France, there's probably never an invasion of the Soviet Union. Germany and Japan probably don't join forces. Either way, long story short, if France had been able to stand up strong, the world would have saved, oh, I don't know, roughly 100 million lives. France, not a great performance out of you.
Which, of course, begs the question. And I forgot, shout out to our sponsor.
Trash Can Barbecue. Try our special sauce. Taste the flavor.
Who wins round two? Look, I'm saddened by what's happened to France. You're saddened by what's happened to France. But let's be honest. You would still visit France. There are still parts of France you can pop in. I've been told the big fancy schmancy southern France on the Mediterranean is absolutely lovely. Nobody has ever told you any part of Haiti is lovely. You really can't even fly over the place. The smell alone will probably finish you off. Haiti wins this one going away. Haiti's 2-0 against France now. 2-0 against France and 2-0 in the tournament. And you never know what can happen in the later rounds because these matchups only get tougher as we go along. You have to look at Haiti and think they've got a shot at the title, right? They have to have. And I know there are juggernauts out there, Afghanistan and North Korea. Somalia is no doubt going to be a contender. Haiti's in this thing. You voted Haiti 80%. Haiti's not just winning. They're dominating their opponent. That says a lot. I know playoffs. Let's talk about why they're afraid. Let's show you why. Next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. I'm aware of the Jimmy Kimmel thing being brought back. It was announced earlier. I'll explain in 10 minutes or so what happened there exactly. And yes, look, I'll be honest. I wasn't going to say anything about this big press conference today with Trump and RFK and autism and Tylenol and all these other things. And I'll explain why I wasn't going to say anything, when I'll get to it. I'll get to that here in a few minutes, too. I'm going to get to the RFK autism stuff, and I'm going to get to the Jimmy Kimmel stuff, and I'm going to get to more emails. But I wanted to play something for you right now. And I've been explaining, you've heard it over the last week, that the reason you're seeing the communists react the way they're reacting in the wake of the Charlie Kirk murder is because they know their revolution is in trouble. They can sense it. You can see it. And so what do? You lie endlessly about it. It was a right winger. You have to lie, or you have to try to justify it. Well, I mean, he had some controversial. Everything you see is because they sense the revolution is in trouble, and they're all locking shields trying to protect the revolution. They're very good at this. They can sense when the revolution's in trouble and when they have to fight back. How much trouble is the revolution in? How on the outs is the Democrat Party in this country? Listen to this from CNN.
Who leads on the economy? Republicans by 7. Immigration? Republicans by 13. How about crime? A big issue for Donald Trump and the Republicans. Look at that. Lead by 22 points.
Give some context on this. Compare this when Republicans last took the House.
Yeah, let's compare it back to 2022. I think this kind of gives away the game right here. Okay, the GOP is more trusted than the Dems on the economy. It was 12 points in 2022. Slight decline in that lead, but still 7 points. How about immigration? It was Republicans by 3 back in 2022. Look at this. The Republican lead's actually gone up by 10 points. What are you doing, Democrats? My goodness gracious. And on crime, the Republicans were up by 13, and now they're up by 22. The lead again expanding by nearly double digits. So whatever Democrats are doing, it ain't working, Kate. It ain't working.
What they're doing is they're desperate. And when you get desperate, and there will be a time in your life where you'll be desperate for some reason. Maybe it'll be at a sporting event, or desperation hits us all at some point in time. When you are desperate, when that feeling of desperation washes over you, very rarely do you make the right decision. Because of your panic, your mind doesn't work properly, and oftentimes, in your desperation, you make the problem worse. Democrats were unpopular before Charlie Kirk was murdered. Then they murdered him. Then they doubled down on everything and made themselves even more unpopular than they were the day before. It's just how it is. This kind of stuff. Yesterday, that memorial, I brought it up in the first hour if you missed it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes if you missed it. I talked about that memorial. That memorial was not just watched by Republicans. 100 million people. And that number will go up. That number's up by now because people are watching it today. They'll watch it tomorrow. That's not just registered Republicans. People around the globe watched, and they were sad together and sang worship music together and watched speeches together. This is how Democrats reacted. This is MSNBC.
What you are seeing here is a movement called Christian nationalism that merges Christianity as it's been practiced in America for, you know, centuries with a very specific interpretation of what the founding fathers wanted, what Aristotle wanted, going all the way back to the ancients.
Yeah, they can't help themselves. They sense the revolution is in trouble in any way. Did you notice crime? He mentioned Republicans are up by 21 points on Democrats on the issue of crime. Let me read you a headline. Wikipedia, that's that online encyclopedia, Wikipedia editors attempted to delete an article on the murder of Irina Zarutska. She's that white girl who got killed in Charlotte. Then they protected the suspect's name. Why would you do that? You're an online encyclopedia. Why wouldn't you want people to read about the murder of Irina Zarutska? And if they do get to read about her, why would you protect the name of the suspect? It's not that they're protecting the name of the suspect. They're trying to protect the revolution. And the revolution is in trouble. And you should feel good about it. And I should feel good about it. It's wonderful. Jesse. This has nothing to do with politics, but I had 2 years clean and sober from booze and drugs, but I recently fell off the wagon because I'm unhappy at the job I've had for 10 years. I feel like I have no purpose and I don't have any friends and like I wasted 10 years of my life at a dead-end job. Well, he goes on to say a bunch of other stuff, but listen, this is desperation. This is exactly what I was talking about. This is a personal level of desperation. You are desperate for friends, desperate for a job that's a higher purpose, desperate. And in your desperation, you are doing what many people have done, what I have done. I have done this. In your desperation, because you don't feel like you have a purpose and you're lost and whatnot, you're reaching for something that will make it worse. I've done it. You're never going to get judgment from me for your addictions. And for your vices, I've done it. I've stopped at the gas station and grabbed a couple big beers for the road on the way home from work multiple times before. I've done it. You're not saying anything that shocks me, and you're never going to get any judgment out of me at all. Start again tomorrow. Just a day. One day. Set that aside and go for a walk. Nothing miraculous. Set it down, no beer, no drugs, 1 day, 1 mile. 1 day, 1 mile. How about that? Tomorrow, go walk for a mile. Fresh air, sunshine, little vitamin D. Tell me how you feel. 1 day and 1 mile. And then the next day, wake up and do it again. But don't worry about that. You focus on 1 day, all right? Get yourself back on the wagon. You'll be fine. Now let's discuss, I want to discuss the autism thing first because that'll be the most controversial. And then I will touch on the Jimmy Kimmel thing. I've kind of moved on from it, but they're bringing him back, so we might as well discuss it a little bit. Before we discuss that, let's save a life. Pick somebody in your life, or maybe somebody who has passed, maybe a relative, maybe anybody, Charlie, whoever. And save a life in their name. When you give to Preborn $28, it buys an ultrasound for a woman who's about to abort her baby. When she hears the heartbeat, she will choose life. And Preborn gives you the option to give in someone's name. Every single day, Preborn is in these neighborhoods saving lives. We can't see it. We're not in the clinic. But every day, there's a scared young lady who chooses life because of Preborn. That baby is about to die and never have a chance to walk on this planet. Because of you and Preborn, that baby lives. They do this only with your help. This is an organization that gives exactly where they say it's going to go. Go to preborn.com/Jesse. Save a life in someone's name tonight. preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.